Hey, what's up, and welcome in to Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, along with Brian Roach from ESPN West Palm. We'll hear from our friend over at ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Knights, in a little bit. But don't forget to subscribe to everything that we do on YouTube, youtube.com. Our YouTube is continuing to grow because of you. Thank you so much. Tell a friend and tell that friend to tell a friend and tell a friend tell a friend to tune in every Thursday to Good Karma Wrestling, also on podcasts as well, on Spotify, and of course, Good Karma Brands as well. Brian, I'm glad that you are here because I can tell you the story about Friday. As a host reporter for the GKW, I went to the Allstate Arena, one of my least favorite places to go in the Chicago area, because the parking is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I can't stand that place. I cannot stand it. So let me just tell you the quick story. It's nothing like getting to the venue and then waiting another 45 minutes to get to the parking lot. Point where the parking lot is completely sold out, right? Completely sold out. Uh-huh. And then the park attendant said, well, at some point, we're just going to have you just pull over to the side and then park your car there. So in front of a whole bunch of, just pull over. And just in the line that you're supposed to go in to pay for parking, you know, the tower, the person in the tower is there to take your money, right? They said, yeah, just pull over. Just get in the line. Single file with the rest of the cars, and then you just walk into the venue. That's what happened.
And then you just hope your car's there at the end of the night? Is that how that works? There's no towing in Chicago?
Well, Chicago, pal, you just never know. But outside of waiting 45 minutes to even get to the venue in a sold-out Allstate Arena, just as we get into our topics, Brian, it was a bucket list to see John Cena's last match in Chicago. The crowd was at a fever pitch. I thought that there was no John Cena sucks chance, zero, in Chicago, because it's the last time you're going to see him, right?
Right.
And so the crowd was great in Chicago for that. A lot of that video is available right now on our YouTube channel, youtube.com. Check out some of our shorts there and like those. I thought that was going to be the biggest pop until AJ Lee. I'm walking into the Allstate Arena. I'm in the bathroom. I'm on the concourse. I'm going up to the second level, and everyone's chanting AJ Lee. AJ Lee the entire time. We all knew it was going to happen, but when she appeared, and you saw the video that I took, as soon as you heard the first note of her music, everyone went batshit crazy.
This was one of those returns. It has to do with CM Punk as well, where I didn't think we'd ever see this day. Like, she seemed content. She seemed disconnected from the wrestling world. But it was one of those things. I get home late on a Friday night, try school football. Usually SmackDown, I'll watch out the week. I fast forward to the main event. I was like, all right, I want to see this. And obviously, you knew it's happening already. But to see that pop, to see that reaction, it was crazy to see. And they pulled one out of their hat. They pulled a rabbit out. Like, look what we got. And now WrestlePalooza in a week, we see her in the ring again.
I think my hands are pretty steady, right? But as I was holding the camera for GKW, for when she came up, the hands started shaking because the arena started shaking.
Right.
It was, without hyperbole, one of the biggest pops I've heard in a Chicago venue. I've been watching wrestling in Chicago since the 80s. It was Road Warrior Pop 87 level. And you watch the video, beat her ass, AJ. Kick her ass, AJ. Like, the people were into it, like old school. So I just want to share that with you. That's awesome. That's just Brock coming back, John Cena, AJ Styles, AJ Lee. Just a terrific night. Those three things happening at the Allstate Arena. But we've always got great things to talk about on Good Karma Wrestling. Let's start with the top story on this Thursday edition of GKW.
Well, we'll start with that. You were in person for AJ's return. You saw CM Punk's return. So who in wrestling is left to make a major return? Or is the bucket empty now?
It's a great question, because this is something that Vince McMahon would always go to, right? Let's find a legend, put him on WrestleMania, put him on a big pay-per-view. But a lot of these guys are no longer with us.
Right.
Or they're absolutely broken down. Like, The Undertaker looks weird in a headset like I'm wearing. As a producer, he's 6'9". He's wearing a headset. Guys, I need you to do this. It's so weird. So what I wrote down, and I think he's good for one more match, at least one, is Kurt Angle. Yeah. I think that Kurt, for one more match, can get it done. And I'd like for him that feeling of, hey, neck is not great. I've lost a lot of weight. I might have lost a little muscle, but I can still wrestle. I think people would love to see Kurt.
It's funny. That's the only name I wrote down also. I think in terms of the peak, in terms of like, oh, never say never, which you can't say in wrestling, it was Punk and it was AJ Lee. And now both of them are back. And both of them will be in the ring a week from Saturday in the tag team match. Kurt Angle, though, we always see it on social media. I think social media plays it up to where the TNA run, maybe not everyone saw it, but it's definitely glorified now on social media. And as Cena is going on this run and we hear some of those rumors and stuff, why not one more Cena and Angle? Like, I know they talked about it on Friday in Chicago. And Cena's the type of guy that Angle could work, and it wouldn't be too much of a help for us. Like, there's not going to be high-flying stuff. Cena's not going to be going too fast for him. I feel like that's the type of match where he can run and be like, all right, I'm good here, and stay healthy at the end of it.
You know, some of your nonsense when we first started this show was just out of control. But honestly, now, your conspiracy theories, everything's on the table.
Why not?
Everything's AJ on the
Lee's
table.
Back. Like
under Vince is like, you know, me and Gabe was like, oh my God, here he goes. It was crazy conspiracy theories. Is William Shatner conspiracy theories. Is Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what, Brian? It's all on the table now. Who knows? It very well could happen. Sure.
Especially because when you look at the WWE landscape, there isn't an obvious final opponent right now. Like, we are single digits left of Cena. We're going to get Cena and Brock next week. He's been through all the big names. I'm happy they did the Sammy stuff last week. There's running out of options. We've talked about how depleted the roster is from a youth standpoint. They might have to go the old standpoint, and Kurt Angle is the one that sort of tells that story.
I wrote down a few other ones, and these are long shots in the Kentucky Derby of wrestling. But I did write down Booker T. And by the way, Booker actually still wrestles in his own reality of wrestling every now and then as like a special attraction. He'll do that. And I know he's older, but I mean, I think he's inspired every Tuesday when he's in there. He's like, man, you know, could you imagine a matchup with him and the TNA champion?
Yeah, but that return feels like one of those, you see him in a rumble, it's a surprise, and somehow he sticks around for a few months. Like Carlito, like Jarrett sort of did when he was bouncing back and forth. And like, you go from there. I don't know if it's the same pop, but it still gets a good reaction, I'm sure.
Man, look, you put Booker T in a tag team match with Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's father and son, really. Right. I mean, it really is. I watch Trick Williams every week, man. And, you know, we don't cover a lot of NXT on the show, but when we see Trick Williams, and I'm like, God, that's so much. He's like Booker T, but turned up to like 11.
Right.
Seriously, man. Just like, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. He's just jive as hell. He's just an amazing personality, good wrestler. And his finisher is the old Bruce Beefcake high knee.
Right.
It's really a high knee. Like, that's how, when he first came to WWE, that was his finish. It's a high knee. It's like, you know, it looks, you know, just pedestrian back then, or now it does, but he gets it over as a finish. So I like him. I wrote down Mickie James.
Okay, but I feel like we've seen that. And, like, I don't even know if you can say she's gone.
Where is she?
She bounced around. I saw her have an awful match in Vegas Mania weekend.
Well, she's special. She's not on the circuit anywhere. She doesn't do the indies.
I guess to that standpoint, from a women's division and, like, Googling, I saw the name pop up, what about a Sable return one day?
Man, but she won't even do the indie. You don't know what that looks like now.
No.
I don't know which. Well, she couldn't wrestle when she was in wrestling.
Fair. It's a different time. But like a one-off where maybe someone can carry her through a good match, that's a reaction.
So Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. And so we get AJ Lee and CM Punk and Brock and Sable.
Yes.
You want that? You want a six person tag?
It's a good way to save her.
I don't know what that looks like now. She couldn't wrestle when she was a champion.
Right.
God, that was so horrible. I wrote down for nostalgia, Ken Kennedy.
Okay.
Or Mr. Anderson. I don't know. He does a lot of interviews. I just don't know. Like I said, long shots, right?
Yeah.
People like Ken Kennedy.
See his name pop up on indies, but I don't know if I've seen him anywhere major besides that.
So I guess to wrap this up, it's just where we are today, Brian. I mean, Hogan's passed away. Undertaker seems done. Shawn Michaels done. Triple H can't. Okay. Then we look at WCW superstars. We already saw Goldberg. That'll be all for Goldberg. We don't need to see that again. I mentioned Booker T. Nash is done. Hall passed away. DDP's done. That's not happening. DDP. So we look through Japan. Not much there that I can recall that I think that we must see. And then we look at the women's divisions across the company over the years. You know, Jazz works for TNA, I think, but that's not,
I think she's actually at the PC now.
Is she? I don't even. Yeah. I think okay. So. Rodney Mack. Like we don't. There's no. Well, that's the dark days of WWE, isn't it? 2001, 2002. Not great.
What about the AEW to WWE one, where like Mox comes to mind? Because Mox is someone I think you could never say never, but like I'm pretty confident say we'll never see him in the WWE again.
No, don't do that. You know it's wide open now.
I don't know. He just seems to be one of those guys who just doesn't give a shit. So he's just like, oh, I don't want to deal with that anymore.
But what about Jericho?
That I could definitely see. Like Jericho is the more the corny-esque type, where it's like, all right, here's the paycheck, on to the next territory.
I mean, you know how this works. If AEW closed its doors, Moxley would still be doing international,
sure.
You know, do the local circuit, do the indies. And then WWE would call and say, we'd like to put you in the Hall of Fame. However, you need to wrestle and do this
right
before we put you in the Hall of Fame. See, that's how it works. You just don't slide right in. You got to do some kind of angle. You got to do some kind of program and then to the Hall of Fame.
But Mox seems to be the type to be like, no, I'm good. And just like say no to that. Like, I feel like even Hall of Fame, like, hey, we want to induct the Shield. Like, all right, cool. Congrats to them. And just no shows.
Only reason why I bring up Jericho is because he said the same thing. He goes, it wasn't important for me in the WWE Hall of Fame. And now he's done with AEW, it seems like. And I know he's going to slide back in. I personally, as a Jericho fan, don't want to see Jericho back in the ring in WWE. We saw it in AEW.
Right.
And even though, you know, entertaining, great programs, you saw what that looks like. He's a much more slowed down Jericho that you don't really want to see anymore.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then, like, I know him going to WWE will be a success. We've talked about it a lot, where he's the king of reinvention. There will be another Jericho character to come out of it. More t-shirts, more figures, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the ring, I don't know if we're seeing five-star Jericho anymore.
Well, at some point when we're doing this show in 15 years, we'll look back at this era and say, who are the guys that need to come back?
Right.
And it's going to be like Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Like, yep. It's going to be strange. Well, we have more topics to go here. And again, like, share, and subscribe, and leave your comments on what we're talking about for every show we do here on Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube, as well as on our podcast as well. All right. What is next, Brian?
We saw on Monday maybe some seeds being planted of a possible Jey Uso heel turn. So which top WWE face do you want to see actually turn heel?
Okay, we need to go through a list here because we have a number of WWE superstars that's been both. So we go to that babyface list. And so LA Knight, I think that there's a push there. Maybe it's my TV, but I saw on Raw that they feel like they're going with them a little bit. He got some promo time. And I feel like they might be going with him. Now, again, I don't know how this ends, but
yeah. What does that mean? Another mid-card title? Like, I don't understand. We've done this. Well,
that's who he is at this point in time, right? But didn't you feel like he got a little bit more airtime being in the main event of Raw?
Yeah.
A couple of promos.
Yeah, like backstage stuff. He's involved in this, but this just feels like it goes down the path of him eventually losing to Jey Uso, and I don't see a path towards him even wrestling for a world title.
Jey Uso's a heel now? Is that what you consider with that kick?
I think he's going that way, yeah.
How about Jey Uso with Ed? And by the way, that's like burning money, isn't it? It's like he's like putting a whole bunch of money in a trash can and just setting it on fire.
But like, I know all their faces. Like, all their faces have catchphrases and shirts. Like, LA Knight, Jey Uso, CM Punk, Cody, Fatu, like, someone's got to be a heel.
Well, I guess I'm looking at it an old school way because Jey Uso, I know you're not a big fan, but you know he gets over with the kids, the 100%. Catchphrase, everything else. And so to give him an edge is fine, but if he's turning heel, I always feel like that's just burning money, right? If he's a top merch seller, and he was because Heyman said so, he was the top two, top three merch sale guy. It's like, nah. You know what? No going through the crowd anymore. No more yeet. We're just going to go after LA Knight. And he got booed somewhat in Milwaukee. Well, at least it was a mixed reaction. Right. Is that fair?
Yeah, I just I don't know. I feel like they have so many guys that are selling that merch that like they can afford to basically give one up. Like, because who are the heels in that company right now? It's Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
It's Rollins' group, even though a lot of them are over because of the entrance and the barking and stuff like that. And then who? Like, who else are heels?
Rusev.
Yeah. That's meaningless.
New Day.
They're not on our televisions. And they're stuck with Grayson Waller.
They're on every week. What do you mean they're not on our TV? You must fast forward through those segments.
All right. Who are the top level main event heels then?
Okay. Well, it's. At one point, it was the Bloodline, and that's not the case anymore. Right. So it's the Raw, it's the Vision.
The Vision, yes.
The Vision, and it is Judgment Day.
Okay, but even that, Dom starts to get cheered a little bit. Like, that gray area in the WWE, and I think it's one of the reasons we talked about last week where things aren't clicking right now, is because it isn't black and white. There aren't heels and faces. It's like, hey, we're the bad guys, but we're going to cheer. Brock's a heel, but you were there. Like, that place goes nuts when his music hits.
Man, it really was. And they were like, just like amazed. Yeah.
Yes. That's not how that works. Like, we watch on Wednesdays, we see how much of a heel Don Callis is, how much fans hate him and want to chant F Don Callis. That doesn't happen in WWE.
No, that's real heat from Don Callis. He loves it.
Right.
Yeah. He relishes in it to the point where, you know, a topic we're going to have at some point, Brian, is talking about whether or not his heat overshadows his group.
I agree.
I think which. It's what Rick Rude's problem was with Bobby Heenan. Rick Rude said, "You're taking my heat." Bobby's like, "I'm just doing my job."
That's right. Just
like, yeah, but you're taking my heat. I'm the heel. So when I look at that babyface list, like, it's not Penta and it's not Rey Fénix. It's not. No. Do you have a name that you think that should and that, like, you don't turn for you turn because you feel like you can be elevated on the card.
Right. So for me, like, I lean LA Knight as a, we tapped everything out. They've given them title matches. They've sold merch. Now maybe you try something new with a heel, and maybe now we see a next level for him. Because Jey Uso as a heel, it looks like he's just going to be Roman. We've seen that already. LA Knight as a heel, where he's frustrated and fed up, maybe there's something different there.
Okay. Because I go through the list, and like, so... What's happening with Bayley? I don't know what this is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. She's turning into Toni Storm, I think. Like, I look forward to her coming out in black and white next week.
Yeah, I just think about this list, and I don't know. LA Knight as a heel, that's fine, and we've seen that before. He's still going to get a reaction, and this is a longer conversation about we as fans and how we look at the wrestlers. It's hard to get real heat unless you are Don Callis and Paul, even with Paul Heyman. Sure. Paul Heyman with the sing-songy, "My name is Paul Heyman." Now, he's supposed to be hated. He's supposed to be, and a lot of times he does get booed, especially when he deals with Roman and the old Bloodline. Sure. But it gets to the point, and I just noticed this on Friday, just being on SmackDown, it's hard to find that person that you hate, that you just want to go after. Like I think that Becky Lynch – is a perfect example of saying she's taking a page from The Miz, pretty much. Right. Just keep repeating the same accolades. People will boo you. She got booed out of Milwaukee on Monday. Yeah. You know, like, but that's, and it wasn't like piped in. People hate her because of AJ Lee and because of CM Punk. So I look at this roster on my iPad. I don't see anyone that stands out that is like, boy, if you turn this person, now you're off to the races.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to your point, we talked about Jericho earlier. When Jericho turned heel, he got rid of Judas. Like, I think that stuff plays into it, where it's like, hey, you're supposed to hate me. I don't want you singing my entrance music. Seth Rollins should change his song. Like, if he's going to be this top heel and the Vision's going to be heels, they shouldn't have that song where everyone's kicking off Raw singing it. Like, that takes away from it. And maybe that's just the WWE model, where it's like, oh, we don't really need that hated heel. People are still showing up. People want to be interactive, and that's all that really matters to them.
Anybody seen Bianca Belair lately?
Was she hurt?
I don't know, but that's ask the dog. Does the dog know if Bianca
Belair? The dog is not enough.
Oh, no, you didn't even ask.
Well, then she shuts up.
Maybe the dog knows. I don't know. And so I'm just giving you a name of someone there. And then Another name I was thinking about, and maybe the ship has sailed on Randy Orton. We always thought that it was going to happen, and it has not. He's not changed. Maybe because Cena's still around. I don't know.
Yeah, and that, I mean, Naomi was sort of it. Like, we got a good heel run there, and now she's gone. It is few and far between in terms of top-notch heels in that company.
Yeah, I can't help you. I'm looking through it. Like, it's all the baby faces and being able to turn and then make a difference. I don't see that yet. It's a roster issue.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I think it was Cena related, but Sami Zayn got some booze on Friday in Chicago. Does that make a difference if he turns heel?
Who's that? You said
Sami.
Oh, well, listen, with Sami is a baby face and an underdog that wants to be able to win the world championship. It's so funny because Sami was the same person. He didn't do anything that was heelish. He was the same guy. It's just because he's in the same ring with John Cena and he interrupted Cena's promo.
Right.
I think that even Sami was taken aback, like how much heat that he drew by just saying, "Hey, John, how's it going? I remember the whole U.S. title like thing that you did there, like the open challenge. I like to challenge you, like friendly, right?" Chicago was not having it. They were not having it. Like, get the hell out of here, Sami. This is not your turn. You know, so
just you guys are so ungrateful. He's trying to give you a moment. You're still booing him.
He was so friendly, though. He wasn't doing anything. He also got booed. I sent you the video. Is the and again, I don't know what was on TV and don't know what because I didn't go back and watch it. But was the introduction on TV of Sami against John? Was it on TV? I don't remember. I don't know if it was or not. But I saw it in person. But it was Sami leaning in to Mark Nash, the announcer, the ring announcer, and saying, "No, you should introduce me first, and then John second." Now, that's a heelish thing to do, but he did it respectfully. Like, no, it's John's moment, but I should be introduced first instead of him. And that was, and people didn't like that either.
You guys don't like anything, though.
Without Sami was turning. They didn't know. But he did everything the way Sami did it, friendly. But people in Chicago said, no, you're being an asshole.
So that's I'm just wondering, like, him as a heel, but, like, that feels like it misses something also.
I don't want to see that again. We all saw what it looks like. It was going to have the camouflage hat and with the conspiracy theory Sami. I don't want to see that again. I think when he wins the championship, whenever that's going to be, he's going to bring the house down. People are going to love Sami finally getting to the mountaintop. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in that stratosphere, like KO was a top heel before he got hurt. Like, that was someone that got fans to actually boo him. And, like, that is not easy in the WWE world. But now he's gone also. So it's something lacking.
We got great AEW news. We got WWE news. All you got to do is check us out on Instagram at Good Karma Wrestling on Instagram. Make sure that you like that. We can use a lot more followers there. And, of course, on YouTube. Make sure you share this, like, share, and subscribe. We do for Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube. All right, Brian, what else do we have here?
Reports coming out. AJ Styles contract set to expire in the WWE in a few months. So where do we see AJ Styles wrestle his final match?
All right, we're going to get there in a moment. I'd like to ask you what the hell is going on here with Styles. This is just for the international audience on Netflix and not for us. I don't know how he got X'd out of that, but there it is, as he waits to be able to wrestle, and he's saying that someone is against him in the back. Someone wants him out.
Yeah, doesn't want me here. He mentioned Gallows and Anderson, who have not worked for that company for months. He mentioned Michin being on SmackDown, and it was for the live audience only, but then put out on social media.
So what does that mean? So Luke Gallows is on Pro Wrestling Nation on Busted Open, and he says, no one in WWE has contacted me. He says, I saw it like you guys saw it. I was very surprised. I'm at the house with my kid. He says, I don't think he's doing anything. Maybe Indies, Luke Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, I don't see him anywhere.
And so no, he says, maybe it's kayfabe, maybe it's not. He goes, I was surprised. I was very surprised that someone that AJ Styles said that. So are we seeing AJ Styles eventually going back to TNA to put the Bullet Club together? But what's going on?
It's weird because, like, you asked that a year ago, and we're like, okay, I can see that. But like, TNA is WWE now. So like, if you're upset with the WWE, like going to TNA doesn't make sense.
Right.
And like, this is them doing that whole like, oh, is it a work? Is it a shoot thing? Which it worked with Ron Killings. Karrion Kross happened, and Karrion Kross is still not in the WWE. And I'm sure if he eventually ends up back there, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it was a work all the time, which it doesn't feel like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is going down that path also.
So one of these things where, and his contract's up in February?
February, yes. And apparently, according to reports, he signed a short-term deal. So he is going to be done soon. He is older in age.
I saw the thing on his social media, like the hourglass.
Right.
Kind of like Cross with the hourglass, right?
He is 48 years old. And I said before, he plans to retire before he turns 50.
Well, he also said that I'll never wrestle over 40 either.
Oh, okay.
Well, he did say that. He did say that after 40, I'm not wrestling anymore. And now look, so Brian, if there is a connection going into next year of AJ Styles and Killer Cross and some of the people that are hanging on by a thread in the organization or going to be part of the organization, or you're trying to reprise the Bullet Club for 2026. Okay, that's fine. What does that mean? Like, if that happens, then what does that mean?
That is interesting. That, like, yeah, if we see Styles, Cross, Killings, throw Natty in there, like the frustrated talent. I'm into that, but from a WWE standpoint, I don't know if it gets over or we see it past the mid card.
It'd be something. Well, I mean, if somebody wins a championship out of that or championships, that'd be cool because it will have that feeling of like damage control. Don't you remember when they first came out? It's like, what the hell? Now, who put this together? This is cool. The cool music. I'm like, pretty good, right? Somebody's got their thinking cap on. Just putting together three Japanese women and a New Zealander, right? I believe that was the case. There was four of them. I believe it was, right?
It was Bailey, Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I thought that was cool.
Uh-huh.
So if you're doing that, if that's what you have planned for the future, okay. Age aside, AJ Styles can still go.
Yes, 100%.
I just want to know, like, is Finn Balor part of this as well? Because he was the head of the Bullet Club, just like AJ Styles was. Is it Bullet Club against Judgment Day down the line? I don't know.
That's interesting. I feel like we give Triple H too much credit to think that, like, he's actually thinking this far in advance. Like, the Ron Killings thing wasn't a mastermind plan by Triple H. It was, hey, here's this guy who just sort of taking up space and got rid of him. Then the reaction happens like, oh, no, we didn't mean that. Like, we wanted to bring him back. Like, that was completely unintentional. And then now we see the way Ron Killings is being used today, where it's like, all right, we got our moment. He got a main event, and now he's comedy again. So, like, I'm not willing to give him that credit. I do most of the time just assume guys and girls will end up back in the WWE because you can't say no to those numbers, and you can't fault them for that. Like, someone like a Natty, who is off doing her own thing half the time, could have said no and could have become a free agent and done all this stuff. But if you're AJ Styles, there's only a few more matches. Is there a world that exists where we can get one more Styles versus Joe? Like, did he branch out and say, hey, I'm done, but let me run this back one more time, wherever that might be, under some umbrella?
Sure. So getting to your question, to our question about does AJ Styles wrestle, where is he wrestles from? Well, unless if there's nothing cooking with WWE where he is leaving, then that's going to happen in New Japan.
Sure.
It's going to happen in New Japan. And I wrote down Nakamura, and I don't know, like that's a good match.
Yeah.
Nakamura feels like he's not even in the company anymore in WWE.
That's it. He's under contract. I don't know what his status is, but he's technically works there.
It's not Tanahashi. Cause he's literally, right, literally on his last legs.
Yes.
I mean, literally. And it's not, that's not like tongue in cheek. But it's literally, when you watch him wrestle, he can barely walk. So that's not a dream match anymore. But maybe Nakamura and against AJ Styles is, because I think we saw that in New Japan. So I think that his final match may not be in the United States if he is going to be done this upcoming spring. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, AEW, though, like, I know they're starting to get away from, like, let's not just sign the ex-WWE guys.
Yeah.
But AJ's not that. Like, AJ, there's still dream matches that you look at. Like, if we had an Ospreay versus AJ match, I'm in on that. Like, that's something we haven't seen before. Or a Swerve versus AJ Styles, which maybe you've seen on a main event, but I assume we haven't seen that in the WWE world. Like, there are opportunities. AJ Styles can still go. If he has a handful of matches left, like, AEW, to me, is the place where it's like, all right, let's see what he's still got left in the tank.
WWE buying AEW anytime soon? That's the only way to happen. Like, okay, so you say that, and then AJ's got to wait another 10 to 12 years to get into the Hall of Fame.
Right. But I don't – he also, though, one of those guys, like, maybe it's the Vince thing, and maybe it's changed now, but, like, he's not a WWE guy. Like, he might still have to wait for the Hall of Fame.
You don't think AJ Styles is a WWE guy?
No.
After all these years, he's not a WWE guy? Now, listen, you can, if that's the case, and what you, I'm just going to go back on what you said.
Yeah.
Then he's a TNA guy.
Yes. That's what I look at him as.
Which is going to be absorbed by WWE. So it makes him a WWE guy.
Yes, by technicality, but from a WWE standpoint, where they're very big on, like, if we didn't make you, if you didn't get over here, like, we're sort of ignoring it happened. Like, it wasn't under the WWE umbrella. When did he debut? I'm looking that up right now.
Why are you saying that, Brian, after he was crowned the guy that would be in the retirement match with The Undertaker? How could you say he's not a WWE guy? They chose him everybody. They chose a wrestler's wrestler to take on The Undertaker in this whole theatrics for Undertaker's last match.
I don't know. Like, to me, like, I think there's still just more moments when it comes to TNA Impact stuff. Like, yes, Taker's there. The Rumble debut is there. And then there's just meddling around the mid-card. And, like, yes, he has title runs. But, like, I don't know. There's just always been a disconnect for me with AJ and the WWE. Like, I know he can still go. And I want to see him do that stuff. But we haven't seen that in the WWE. I mean, we saw him and Nakamura out of Mania, and it just didn't deliver.
He's been in the company since 16.
Yeah, I know.
Now, look, if you want to have the conversation that you feel like, as we just talked about with Kurt Angle, right?
Right.
Kurt Angle is more of a TNA guy than WWE guy. Even though we continued, he just is.
Yeah.
Look at the cage match.
Right.
Go to cage match and look at those great matches that Kurt had against Joe and Daniels, mm-hmm. Christopher Daniels, and all those great matches he had in TNA. He had some crazy matches, and he was pilled out of his mind. Right? I mean, seriously, during that time, he was out of control,
yeah,
but had great matches. We can say the thing about AJ Styles. AJ Styles was the face of TNA all those years. So to the point where they didn't know what to do with him. They turned him heel and tried to make him the next Ric Flair, if you recall.
I think maybe that's what's sticking out. Like, he was the face of that company. He was never the face of the WWE.
They weren't going to allow that. I mean, not that far. I mean, Vince liked him. They're politically aligned. That's one thing. Secondly, I think that he respects AJ Styles because Vince thought, well, who's this guy from the Indies?
Right.
And it's like, no, this guy actually can go. And people remember that was the Royal Rumble in San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken, right? When he debuted, I believe it was. Yeah. I know it was the Rumble, and he came. I think he was number 5 or number 6 coming in there, and then the crowd roared like, "Oh my God, it's AJ Styles!"
Right?
And Vince is like, "Who is this guy? Like, he's something special, man."
But so, if AJ said, "Hey, like, hey, my contract's up in February, I want a retirement tour," does that happen to WWE?
WWE adjacent to take on Frankie Kazarian.
Okay.
to take on Kaz. That's fair. What I mean. I mean, he was there. He was there with Leon Slater.
Uh-huh.
And he crowned Leon Slater like the next big thing, right? I'm not saying that TNA's got this like this vast roster for AJ to take on, but if he goes to AEW, man, he's gonna be banned from WWE for a while. They won't let him in. And yes, in AEW he's got plenty of guys to wrestle. Absolutely he does. Like Samoa Joe, for instance, you mentioned, like as Japanese wrestler. There's plenty. Kyle Fletcher.
Christopher Daniels is still floating around. Like, throw him back out there. Like,
which is a problem. I don't know why. It's just like, you're in the back. Why is he there? It's like, well, you're not in a tag team anymore.
No.
I don't know. What is he doing there? But I believe that if he really is done, I think it's New Japan. Because people, first of all, New Japan would need AJ Styles to come back. Mm-hmm. New Japan Pro Wrestling, the reason why that we haven't talked a lot about it on this show, because it would be you or me bringing it up. Not Gabe, he wouldn't know. But you and I would bring it up. The reason why it has is because they haven't really come back since the pandemic.
Right.
They really have not. It's not even a wrestler thing as much as it is. Remember after the pandemic, they told the crowds there to not cheer. Mm-hmm. They all had to wear masks, and they had to be quiet in there. And there was like not even a half a house for those places because they only allowed so many people to get in. And from there, it doesn't have like Kenny Omega or right. Okada or those guys. Like they got Gabe Kidd running in and out. They've got some guys, and you know it's not hot because you didn't see him up and down the card for Forbidden Door right. for AEW. So I think that New Japan would love to have AJ Styles do a final run there because that company needs a bump. They need a push.
And that, to me, is the reason why I think they have fallen off because, like, there isn't that talent. You're like, oh, I need to see him. I'm going to wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. Eastern to watch Wrestle Kingdom because I want to see this Will Ospreay guy I've heard so much about. All those guys and girls are in AEW now. Like, we see Ospreay. You mentioned Gabe Kidd. He's the face of the company. We see him on AEW television. Like, there isn't that one person. And, AJ over there is something where it's like when Jericho went over there. That's something where, like, all right, you've got my money, and you probably got me for a few months because it's going to take a long time to figure out how to unsubscribe. But, like, New Japan, here you go. I'm in.
It took me 9 months. Hon, what is this Japanese writing on the bill? I'll look into it. She was not happy. Uh-huh. The wife's not happy that the Japanese writing, she right there on the bill. And I would say it's New Japan. Don't you read Japanese? It says New Japan Pro Wrestling right here. Yeah, she didn't like that. So I think, Brian, that would be something that would be great for AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. But I'm still very curious of what he was talking about there in that hidden promo.
Yeah, I mean, if it turns into something great, I think he's above this mid-card feud. Like, it was good with Dom, but, like, him and El Grande Americano, like, I don't know if we need that every week on our television. Like, he is above that, and that's the WWE booking right now.
Hey, we have some great guests coming up in the very near future here on Good Karma Wrestling, don't we?
That we do, because South Florida is going to be in the front and center of the wrestling scene. We have an NXT pay-per-view coming here. We have AEW Dynamite 6th anniversary. So scheduled to appear over the next few weeks, Obafemi, NXT World Champ. Ricky Saints challenging Obafemi for that title down here in Fort Lauderdale at the War Memorial Auditorium.
Uh-huh.
I am tempted to go to that. I love that venue. They've redone it a lot. That's where I went to my first ECW show, so I'm tempted to check it out. And then AEW comes to town at the Hard Rock Casino, another venue I'm curious to see. So I believe we're going to have Anthony Bowens to talk about that.
Ah, so we've got some terrific guests coming up. We're going to be turning the old turnstiles to 200 episodes of Good Karma Wrestling very soon as well. So keep it locked. It's going to be a very hot fall and winter here for Good Karma Wrestling. I cannot wait to talk to Obafemi. That'll be a maiden voyage for him, being on this program. NXT, they've got, we talk about who's turning heel, who's turning babyface. We're going to find out in WWE, some of the NXT kids could be able to turn and have a new personality. Obafemi is a babyface now. He's red hot as NXT champion. And who knows when we're going to see him. So we're going to have some great conversations right around the corner. All right. So what else do we have, sir, on this edition?
All right. Number three, we heard it last night. It's official. All Out next week. Hangman defends the AEW World title against Kyle Fletcher, the men's heavyweight title, which they've begun to clarify. Kyle Fletcher, friend of the show. What percent chance do you put on Fletcher becoming the new world champion next weekend?
I thought that Kyle Fletcher was tripping over his words until he made it very clear that he wants to be the men's world heavyweight champion. I'm like, I didn't expect him to take on Tony Storm or Mercedes Moné. So.
I believe Hangman started it. He's in an interview. He says it because he wants those titles to be equal is the reason they're saying it.
I thought that was very interesting the way that was brought up. First of all, Kyle Fletcher and Hangman Page, what a surprise. What a great promo session. Mm-hmm. But Kyle, our friend of the program, we haven't had Hangman Page on.
No.
They're going to put the champion on, for God's sake. I'd rather talk to him than Tony Khan. That'll be last time for that around here. But as far as Kyle Fletcher, our friend Kyle Fletcher, who's been on the show multiple times, he's grown up before our very eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You see that suit he had on, the business glasses? He's Dexter. He's crazy. we know he's crazy. But he stood toe-to-toe with the champion and said to Hangman Page, oh, yeah, I'm not you 6 years ago. No, I want to be the men's world heavyweight champion. And I love that promo because even Hangman Page had to take a step back. It's like, you know what? You're not ready. Oh, that's the worst.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what profession you're in, when someone says you're not ready, that makes you want to punch the wall. Because, and that's what Kyle Fletcher came across as. Like, I am ready. So even though I think that this match is a little too soon, I think, this is just old school Hood, saying he's got a championship. Let Kyle have his classic matches with his championship to build to a world title match instead of him losing the matchup. And then having to go down a couple of pegs, this is less than 10% for Fletcher in this matchup against Hangman Page.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. I think you could have built it up even more so if we were 6 months from now. We saw the way he took that TNT title and made it into a bigger deal. The one thing, and maybe it's because of the fact that, like we said, we've seen him grow up. We've had those interviews where two years ago, like, this is a tag team wrestler. Like, and he has shined. His partner gets hurt, and he's like, all right, time to roll with the ball. It would be quite an AEW moment and quite a surprise if somehow, some way, Kyle Fletcher's leaving Toronto as a world champion. And that is the same night you're going against WrestlePalooza, where Brock's going to be there, and AJ Lee's going to be there, and Cody's coming back. Kyle Fletcher becoming the world champion is the story of that weekend if Kyle Fletcher wins the title next week.
No question about it. That makes him a double champion, and that would be amazing. I want to talk a little bit about placement. Mm-hmm. I know traditionally the heavyweight championship, the men's heavyweight championship, would go last in AEW pay-per-view. I have no problem with that going first because I know that's going to go 30 minutes through and it's going to be amazing. I know that in AEW Wrestlers Lie, the idea that Kyle Fletcher is going to be out there by himself, no Don Callis family, no Don Callis, that's not going to happen. You know they're going to interfere. But I think that the match in the ring is going to deliver. There's no doubt.
Right.
I love Hangman Page being the champion. And that's why I'm eager to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Hell, if we talked to Cody Rhodes a couple times, there's no reason why we can't talk to Hangman Page. So I want to talk to Hangman because I like to talk to him about him being champion again and how it feels this time versus the first time that he was champion. I love him in this position because of how dark the title reign was for John Moxley. And so I like to talk to him, and I think that matchup against Kyle Fletcher, I will tell you, Brian, this match is not going to tell us anything we don't know.
Right.
Like, we know both guys can go. There's nothing special outside the ordinary that we're going to see outside of a really great match.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's why I agree with you. I lean to where this probably shouldn't be the main event because – yes, we're both saying single-digit percentage points that, like, Fletcher could actually win this. So it's a main event where, yeah, there might be a couple of falls. You're like, wait a minute, is Fletcher going to do this? But otherwise, it ends with Hangman winning. That's sort of a dud to end the night. The main event next week feels like it's Cope and Cage. It's Edge and Christian in the main event. Like, it's them teaming up against FTR. FTR is pretty top heels right now. Hmm. But this match, like, we've seen what Fletcher can do. So I'm just curious the mindset of the booking, because of the fact that we're not going to learn anything. We know Kyle Fletcher can go. We know Kyle Fletcher can hold his own. So what is the point of this match? Like, is there something else that we're like, oh, I didn't see that coming? Like, could we possibly see a swerve like that?
No, I don't think so. I want to be able to delve into the booking with you if we can, just a second. Because as we just mentioned, it's a matchup we don't need to see today. I understand that Tony Khan wants to be able to keep up with WWE as far as match quality and having the best of the best, because it's where the best wrestle. I totally understand that. That's what AEW says. You know, with the injuries to Swerve Strickland and to Will Ospreay, that still didn't mean that you had to have Fletcher in this match.
Right.
Are we missing something as far as other contenders that should have taken on the Hangman Page for the championship? We missing anything?
I mean, Okada's doing his own thing. Like, I feel like you could have told more of a story with Takeshita. Like, we all assume Takeshita's breaking off the Don Callis family and turning face. Like, where he sort of goes rogue and like, no, I want the title shot. And then him losing begins that breakup. Like, the Don Callis family are the top heels there right now. So that comes to mind. Or maybe even there comes a world where, like, Fletcher's part of the turn also. Maybe Fletcher turns face out of this. And, like, at the end, him and Hangman shake each other's hands, and he breaks off from the Don Callis family. Like, maybe that's the reason there.
I don't think that Sky Blue would allow that.
Okay.
Because now you're messing with the money.
That's
but Takeshita, you could see the daggers that he's looking at with the members of the Don Callis family. I think that's a problem. I think that we could see Takeshita as a babyface and could be champion one day. He's that good. You know, I know it's going to sound strange, Brian. When we get that rogue link of Takeshita matches outside of AEW, right? It could be anywhere else, right? It's indies, someplace.
Yeah.
Man, he gets such an ovation.
Mm-hmm.
He works so hard. And it's kind of like, dude, that guy could be world champion. And I know his English isn't great, and that shouldn't be an issue. But the point is, though, is that he's giving you 5 stars every time on the old Meltzer scale. He's really good. And I don't know. I just think that at some point he could be at the top of the company because he entertains the hell out of me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think now that we look at it, though, we're talking WWE heel problem. AEW isn't too far off. Like, the Death Riders are heel. We got the Daniel Garcia turn last night. I'm curious to see where that goes. MJF is a top heel, but he's already done the Hangman thing. We assume we're going to see that again. Like, there is that lull right now where it's like, who else could be there?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm not sure. But I'm just kind of just flipping through the roster
of guys
that could be in that. Now, see, if there was other, you know, Takeshita is one guy. If there's someone else from the Don Callis family, would it be as interesting as the main event, if that's going to be the main event of in Toronto?
I mean, Takeshita would be the only one. I mean, we saw Josh Alexander literally last night. That was a great match.
Yes, it was.
But I don't know if that would have been an interesting story to tell before that.
Boy, you have all of these wrestlers, right? Don't you think that you could heat someone up for you? I mean, if you want to heat up Beast Mortos,
right,
and let him just beat everybody, like, oh boy, you know who's hot? Beast Mortos, and he's going to take on. Okay, now you probably don't think that Mortos can win the championship, but at least you say, well, there's a contender there. Doesn't have a title, but he's been running roughshod. I'm just using him as an example.
Yeah, I mean, stick on the Don Callis family. We talk about the issues with booking big men, like, why isn't that Lance Archer?
Well, that should always be Lance Archer.
Right.
It should be. Yes. Ask someone that doesn't watch wrestling and say, oh, look at these two people. Who should be the champion? You mean that big, tall guy used to play quarterback in college?
Right.
Yeah, that guy. Yes.
My 9-year-old still talks about Brian Cage, who we saw him in an indie show, and the things he did.
Oh, dude. Now, they're not right? But, so. But that comes from, again, it comes from Tony Khan booking wrestling like UFC or boxing. How about this person gets this person? This person gets this person? This person? And they're much better with the stories now. But as far as heating someone up for you to believe that, hey, this guy has been winning on TV for the last 8 weeks.
Right.
He's been beating everybody by a surprise, not disqualification, not a bullshit finish, but just beating guys. Now you're building something toward a title match, and this is not how they book in AEW. So I know that our buddy Kyle is going to lose. He's going to lose this match, and he's still going to be champion. But I think that the way wrestling works is that, yes, eventually he was going to get his title match. It shouldn't have been this soon. I guess that's the point.
Yep, no, I completely agree with that. It feels like they're like, oh, we need to have the world champion on this card, though, because we're not ready for Hangman MJF part 2 of this title run.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny. I flipped through this roster. I know you probably have it in front of you as well. Like, you know, at some point, that should be Ricochet. Now, there's a guy that's been heated up for a while. Now, he's got his cronies around him now. But Ricochet is a guy that when you see him, he's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
From a guy that was kind of forgotten about in WWE, comes to AEW, babyface, turns heel, and a damn good one. A damn good one. And now you see what's happening.
I would have been okay with that. Like a Hangman versus Ricochet pay-per-view main event for the title. Because you have his guys out there where you're still like, oh, well, maybe they're going to cost him. Maybe Ricochet wins. And like him losing doesn't hurt him. And I don't think Fletcher losing this match will hurt him. But Ricochet would have been good here.
And if anybody that deserves to be able to be in that someone's title picture, maybe not the main, but definitely in a title picture, it's a guy like him because he's been doing terrific work. He's aces on TV, Brian. Like it's just it's just been really good. So I don't know. For a lot of these guys that get TV time and they're not heated up to be in these positions, like how many hook promos do I need to see?
Right. Yes.
You know what? You know, I don't think I need any help, or do I?
Oh,
look. Look at that. Look at me on the rooftop. Let me ask you a question, Brian. Are you street tough when you're around a fire on top of a rooftop?
Not quite.
Does that give you the Brooklyn, like, you know, the hard scrabble streets vibe when you're on a roof? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, that is odd.
Well, I mean, listen, when he was in like one of the five boroughs or whatever, sitting on a stoop, right?
Yeah, that was good.
With trash going through, like that's New York. A lot of trash and rats going through. Can't stand that city. But now that's more like Hook, right? Like, it's gritty, right? Grimy. Yeah, I'm up here rooftop smoking a cigar. Or do I?
Ooh.
Hook.
And he's writing me. Oh, it worked out perfect. Lined him up.
I know. You got that TBI. You saw that too. I don't know, man. I don't know. Just, you know, I don't know. I think that there's some guys that deserve that opportunity. And maybe they will, because it shouldn't just boil down to just MJF and Hangman Page. And then MJF wins. It should be more than this. Because while Hangman Page is the champion, you want to build him as well as a champion to take on, you know, credible contenders. I just think that taking out Fletcher by the knees so soon is maybe not the right thing.
Yep, I agree.
All right, let us go to some of the news and notes, Brian.
All right, in a since-deleted post, Saudi Arabia officials have put out a press release announcing WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia in the year 2027. Sean Ross Sapp says WWE presser is scheduled Friday in Vegas ahead of the Canelo fight there this weekend. So expect the first ever non-North American WrestleMania.
And of course, as you well know, GKW never misses a WrestleMania weekend. We will be there with full coverage from Saudi. You're going, aren't you?
That's a little further away. I got to check the passport. I'm hoping all the indie shows that will not be going over there, just pick a city and then I'll meet you there.
You know what? If I'm AEW, and they'll never do this, but if I'm AEW, I'm scheduling something on that same weekend.
Yeah.
So that way people from in North America can come and congregate. You want to have like something called Fight Forever. Here's an idea. Call AEW Fight Forever. I don't know if you can legally use that term, but if you can, AEW Fight Forever. And you invite every indie in the country to come congregate to this city, Miami, Dallas, you know, Los Angeles, New York, wherever, right? While WWE does their thing, you say, we're going to celebrate wrestling here this weekend on a Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, right?
Beautiful.
And just do that, because there's not going to be West Coast Pro out of San Francisco saying, we're setting up too. it's not going to be Boca Championship Wrestling that's going to be setting up in Saudi and taking that 24-hour flight over there. It's like, you know what? It's WrestleMania. We're going to go to the auditorium in Saudi Arabia that's next to the – they're not doing that. Nope. They're not going to like the small gym and set up in Saudi Arabia for the indie show. That can't happen there.
Nope. So, I love that idea. I hope Tony Khan takes a minute. Like, this is his chance to be the aggressor, to not be bullied, where we've heard so much of WWE bullying them. Go say like, oh, yeah, here's the city. Here's the date. We'll see you there.
We love our wrestling in America. Wave your flag and just set root of we're going to have this big event, but everyone's welcome. Fight Forever. have indies come, indie wrestlers could take on my guys from AEW, whatever. Uh-huh. It's a free for all. And like it, I get paid, but also the indies get paid, or those performers get paid. And then it's kind of like a WrestleMania weekend.
Perfect. You give me everything. You give me the top indie stars. You give me Butterbean. You give me 12-year-olds in a match. Just give it all. And it's like, all right, I feel at home now.
That's right, Conrad. StarCast is going to be in St. Louis. That's where it's going to be. AEW Fight Forever. It's going to be all part of it here for WrestleMania weekend. Like, that's how you do it.
I agree.
And we'll be there.
Speaking of that WWE mindset, TKO President Mark Shapiro on a conference call says Vince McMahon was primarily pricing tickets for families and was not focused on maximizing the opportunity to increase prices like TKO is focused on doing. So there's pointing out the obvious from TKO.
So Vince is behind. And I understand his point. He still was on the PG tip for WWE. It's for families, pal. Bring the families in. But TKO and UFC, and now they're in the boxing realm too. They're in the boxing business. Yeah. They're in a whole different plane. It is incredible. But this is how they do business now, Brian. I mean, for the UFC fan, it's not about families. They're just saying, hey, you got a black t-shirt? Come see UFC, right? And you're going to pay for it, just like you do the NFL and these other sports.
This, to me, is the biggest opportunity for AEW to close the gap, because the one thing WWE has over AEW is the family side, because of the years and years of legacy of the WWE. If you're pricing out families and saying, oh, it's not really for families, then you're on the same level as AEW. People are picking AEW in that situation. You're getting better wrestling. You're getting better matches. So it's a little risky. We talk about the NFL being invincible. I don't know if WWE is that, so I'm curious to see what comes of that.
I would. This all comes with marketing, though, and word of mouth. That's the problem. And because we watch AEW all the time. You ever see kids with their faces painted all the time? Maybe one Darby fan.
Right.
You know, maybe a couple. But if they're in the crowd, they don't show them.
Right.
Because to me, if I'm the producer, if I got the pencil, hey, when you pan the crowd, not just the guys with the black t-shirts, give me some beautiful women, give me some kids, so that way you have a full array. When you go to an AEW show, you get it all, right?
Yep.
And all I see, like in Philly on Wednesday night, there's a bunch of guys that want to argue with FTR. That's all I saw. Guys want to fight. I didn't see teens. I didn't see kids. I didn't see moms. But you know where I did see it? SmackDown.
Right.
In Chicago.
I don't know what I said about my parenting, but October 1st, I will be bringing both my children to AEW Dynamite.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Cover their ears, though, because no one Stokely's going to swear.
There's going to be a lot of like, hey, let's not tell mom about this part. And this part and that part. Like, just say you forgot what happened, okay?
This is AEW NC-17.
Right. finally, in news and notes, we talked about the John Cena retirement tour. Well, Rob Van Dam told TMZ Inside the Ring there was mutual interest between himself and the WWE about him being part of the farewell tour. He then broke both of his heels, which changed plans.
What happened?
It's RVD. Apparently it happened in MLW, he was in a battle royal, and then broke both heels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, at WrestleMania, I read in the article, like, WrestleMania stuff, he made appearances, but was it still in a wheelchair back in April.
Why do I feel like, of course, maybe I did see that. Why do I feel like I saw him in a Battle Royal, RVD, and he was the last to be eliminated by Matt Riddle?
Was it that one? That's where he got hurt, the Battle Riot.
I think I saw that.
Well, I think I watched Cena versus RVD.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, he's still in great shape. He does a podcast now. With RVD, I've always thought that Triple H had a problem with him. And I can't get a read on that. You know, RVD had both titles taken away from him because, my God, he had a joint. Oh, my God. He smoked marijuana. So he was a double champion. It was taken away from him. I always thought that Triple H had a problem with RVD. Looks like that they're cool now. We've all respected RVD. He definitely did. And he is up in age, though, but he's still in great shape.
Yep.
Still in great shape. So, well, we see all these guys doing all these flying maneuvers. And RVD was the beginning of it in ECW. Yep.
That's for sure. Somehow still pulls it off.
Match of the week. So it's funny. Brian is always there. Brian is very similar to Ring of Honor. Who's the best in social media for wrestling?
Is it TNA, Impact?
TNA. Yes, TNA Impact is the very best because anything relates to AEW and WWE, immediately, boom, just like that.
I mentioned one of our guys. Look, we have footage of them. Here you go.
Yeah, it does this all the time. If you don't get that, you got to check them out. They do this all the time. And so there's Brian right there. Brian on the spot putting up the interview we had with Sky Blue as she took on Toni Storm. Sky Blue did say on Good Karma Wrestling, that, yeah, I'd love to be in a crazy match. I'd love to be able to be in a match like we saw last night. And she was.
2 years ago. I don't know why it popped in my head. I'm watching that match. That is one of my matches of the week, Toni Storm or Sky Blue last night. And I was like, I feel like I've heard her say this. And we've had her on multiple times. But for whatever reason, I remember it was the first time we had her on, September 1st of 23. And check that out on YouTube. It's her saying, like, yeah, that's one of our goals. Like, have a women's hardcore match. And she got that last night in the 2300 arena at the ECW arena. And she got to use that staple gun in ways that even Taz has never seen.
Both boobs and the ass.
Yeah.
And someplace else.
Other parts, yep.
Yes.
And the bug zapper. That's another new one. I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, that's just, I know somebody thought, oh, is the Jim Cornette tennis racket. No, it's the bug zapper. That's exactly what it was.
So, yeah, that was one of my favorite matches. Those two delivered. The women's division continues to get shine. I think we're headed towards Blood and Guts. I'm hoping we are. Hopefully they get that payoff.
Is Tekla going to be in a title match against Toni Storm? Is that somewhere down the line?
I guess down the line because it's Statlander next week.
I just don't get it with her.
Yeah, and it's another one where it's like it's weird. Like you don't expect her to win there. But whenever Toni does lose, it's going to be a big deal.
Can we make a trade? Can we bring back? Can we just get was that Monroe from NXT?
Yeah.
That was in AEW. Bring her back in a trade. Yes. Yes. And send Statlander to NXT, for God's sakes. It's like some people you just don't want to see on your TV anymore. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't know what she is. Is she going to be part of Moxley's group now? I don't know what this is.
It feels like it's going there. I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm still into her. I don't know if you saw Collision, the opening match on Collision Saturday. Mox versus Danny Garcia.
Mox against Danny Garcia. Yes.
That was a good one. Then it leads to the heel turn last night. I'm curious to see what happens to Garcia there, but that was one of my matches of the week.
Can I go back as far as Friday with Zayn against Cena?
Okay. I had that also. I said, besides the WWE finish.
Yeah. Well, of course. Well, that's Triple H. Got to have that ridiculous finish. So it was fun because in this last few matches of Cena, Cena's showing you more than five moves of doom.
Yeah.
He's showing you at least 10. Uh-huh. And the funny thing is, like, the crowd in Chicago is just rooting for all these different finishes that he's been a part of, Cena, on the receiving end.
Yeah.
Like he's doing, you know, he's doing Randy Orton. He's doing all these different things. It was entertaining that he was trying different things to try to beat Sami Zayn. If nothing else, I didn't like the finish either, but it helped Sami Zayn. You went toe-to-toe with John Cena.
Yeah, and it's fun to see those little Easter eggs of him doing other finishers. It felt like the RKO thing was like an improv. It was the crowd cheering for it. He had all these other things planned. He did the edge spear. He did the go to sleep. But when the crowd started going RKO, he's like, oh, yeah, I could do that one also. And I think they changed it right there on the fly, which was cool to see.
Is there anything else that we're missing? Matches of the week? I don't think that Raw was very inspired in Milwaukee.
Nope, Raw was not. I mean, Hangman and Alexander last night was good. We talked about that.
It's a very good matchup.
Yeah.
Very good matchup. But, you know, it's funny. We are always trying to scour for the matches of the week. And a lot of times some of the just talking segments are as good or better than the matches. Just to see AJ Lee on Monday night talk about, going through therapy. Therapy.
See, they're nicer in Milwaukee. Chicago would have booed that.
Yes. Like, soft therapy. Therapy. What's wrong with this broad? I'm sure that would have been something like that. Brian, it's to see her out there genuinely touched, right?
Yeah.
You think, oh, she's acting. No, she's just like, I'm back here after 10 years. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm involved in this thing. The Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins and CM Punk and AJ Lee thing, it's going to be fun to see at WrestlePalooza, but just the idea of all four of them in that whole thing in Milwaukee was kind of cool. Thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I was super into that. And AJ is legit happy, which is nice to see.
We got some great guests coming up for Good Karma Wrestling. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe what we do on YouTube, youtube.com. You've seen this episode now, so make sure that you give your comments. Also, the podcast as well. Wherever you get your podcast, we've got Good Karma Wrestling. It's interesting. We went through all of this, and we were waiting for Gabe. But Gabe, folks, we just want you to know, very important. Very important. Key cog to the company. Keeps the lights on, apparently, around here. So he doesn't have time for us here at Good Karma Wrestling. But that's okay. You know what? Good old JR and Shivani, we found a way to get through the show. But definitely, we appreciate your support for Good Karma Wrestling. For Brian Rowitz, I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for checking out this edition of Good Karma Wrestling. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln. Solely.